John Bryant Reeves of the Vancouver Grizzlies, and you're listening to CITR 101.9.
It was so cheap.
Our friend Amy said there was a great apartment in her building.
Dirt cheap, but it's a hotel for women. Okay, we made one adjustment.
Now these other ladies know us as Buffy and Hildegard.
But they also know us as Kip and Henry, Buffy and Hildy's brothers. I am crazy about the blonde.
This experience is going to make a great book.
See, it's all perfectly normal.
Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CIT Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And Wilson Wong with me right now. Wilson, you there?
I am.
What did you think of Bosom Buddies?
Sorry?
Oh, you didn't hear the Bosom Buddies opening?
I did.
What'd you think? What'd you think?
It was okay.
Subpar at best?
Sorry?
Subpar at best?
Yeah, if that.
If that, really? Wow, not a fan, huh?
No.
Ah, that's okay. Why not? Do you like Tom Hanks in general? What about Big?
That was pretty good.
You like Big, huh? Remember he got big, but he was still a kid?
Yeah.
Was that the movie, pretty much?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Awesome. Wilson, happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween, Daryl. What are you going to do?
Well, I am currently staying at my parents' place. They're out of town. And my friend Derek's helping me out. We are taking care of the dog.
Ah.
You've met my beagle,
yes,
Cassidy.
Yes, I have.
So,
he's hosted the show before.
Cassidy has been in studio during the show before. So, you know, we got to be there. And I'm taking care of Cass. And, you know, they got the Dunbar home. I'm giving out candy. I've got Twix, Mars, and Kit Kat. What do you think?
I love the Kit Kat.
Yeah, is that... You know what? Wilson, is the problem I'm having is I keep eating it all.
That's not good for you.
No, not good for a Crohn's disease stomach.
No.
But nonetheless, I it's true. If I were to buy these candy bars in a store, it would probably go Twix, Kit Kat, Mars, but these mini Kit Kats are good. It's true. I like them. Wilson, let's move on, though. Are you going out for Halloween at all?
I don't know.
You don't know yet. Any work Halloween parties, anything like that?
No.
You know what I did think, though, is CITR.
Yeah?
This would be the perfect party for CITR as a Halloween party.
Kind of late to plan that now, isn't it?
I'm Wilson, we've been along here so long, I think we could think of next year. You know it's true.
It is.
Or 3-4 years down the road, whatever it is. But don't you agree that a Halloween party could work here?
It could, yeah.
You know, you get people dressed up all weird. It's Halloween.
Like normal.
Today, one of the places I work, we had a Halloween party. Tell me if I did good. Now, I'd say about 20% of the people did anything, if not less. I got up, and this is how pathetic it was down there. Some people were really good, okay? I'm not going to diss it, but, you know, most people didn't dress up, and my costume, and it was considered not bad, I think, I put on a cheese head.
Right.
That was it.
Makes sense.
Why?
You're a sports guy.
There you go. So that's what I wore, though. That was it, though, and that was considered a half-decent costume. You want to move on, hey?
I think everyone does.
All right, let's do it. Wilson, we have now gone into 10 minutes of the show.
I don't know how you do that.
10 minutes of the show.
Every day.
Down the drain. You see, I think I should actually plan from now on that the show actually starts at like 4:45. Just sort of give myself this major buffer zone. And my UBC men's basketball team has just arrived here for their interview. Can I call you back in about 15 minutes, Wilson?
We'll see if I'm here, I guess.
Can we do that? Because they've arrived.
Who's here?
Vern Knopp and Jason Bearing.
You got to go with those guys.
I got to go with them. But we got to get in. There's lots of UBC stuff to get into, Wilson.
There is.
And we do have to get into it. So,
that's why I'm here.
So, okay. So I'll call you back?
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot, Wilson.
Bye.
All right. Hold on. Okay. I'm officially out of it today. Just so you guys are aware, is Wilson Wong, my guest. We like to go over all the sports in UBC athletics. And what happened between us is we talked and we've gabbled on about Halloween and a bunch of other stupid stuff. Didn't get into any of it. You guys have arrived now. There's football playoffs going on. There's field hockey playoffs. Didn't get into any of it. But nonetheless, with us right now, Vern Knopp and, Jason Bearing from the UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team. What a weekend you guys had. I was there for the fun one. I had to work on Saturday night. That's why I wasn't there, if you did notice at all. But I couldn't attend the game Saturday night. I was there Friday night, 130, 128 winners versus Trinity Western, triple overtime. And on the website here, Jason, you were announced as the big hero of the game.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway,
don't be shy.
Vern, I do have to say though, from both teams, and I want to ask you this: from both teams, I mean, Jason, you had 28 points all in the second half and the three overtime periods. But Vern, I mean, Schmidt led at Trinity Western with 23. Casey and Jason had 28 points each. Yep. 258 points were scored in the game combined by the two teams. I mean, if there was ever team effort, high-scoring basketball with all the drama, it was that game.
Yeah, it was. It was one crazy game.
So, all right, let's get into it. 130, 128 winners versus Trinity Western. You guys then came back. A much easier, much more relaxed win, I'm sure. 79-68 versus SFU. UBC men's basketball gets off to a 2-0 start. But I got to get back to Friday night. And Vern, you, Jason, I interviewed you after the game. Thanks for doing that. And we talked, and Casey talked, and Coach Hansen talked. But I got my best reaction out of Vern Knopp after the game. Do you remember talking to me after the game?
Not too much, no.
I just went up to you, and it's how I felt, actually. And I was just a broadcaster during that game. You just go, I'm completely exhausted right now.
Three overtimes does that to you.
Jason, what was it like playing in that game with that gym? Not a ton of people they fit in that place, but it's a very nice gym. They packed the place. They were loud. You guys had blown a 19-point second-half lead with 10 minutes to go in about 5 minutes?
About 5 minutes,
was that how long it took them to come back?
Pretty much.
And then it was just back and forth that entire game. Every possession mattered. What was it like playing in that contest for opening night of your conference schedule?
Yeah, I mean, Trinity is one of the places that you like to go and play. They don't fit a lot of people, but the atmosphere is phenomenal. And, I mean, it was just a ton of fun, right? Like, why would you not want to play in a game like that when it matters and back and forth and triple overtime? Everyone loves watching those games, and everyone loves playing in those games.
Three times Trinity Western had the ball at the end of that game. End of regulation, overtime one, overtime two. They had the ball with the score tied. And David Braun, at the end of regulation, had a good look. He missed. And with all the rebounds, I mean, you guys did not give them many looks at all
in those pressure situations? What was the defense like on the floor there?
Well, I mean, that's what we work on, right? We talk about trying to get those defensive stops when the game's on the line. And I'm very proud of everyone that like got it down and made those stops. I mean, you love to see that from our team, so it was awesome.
Vern, what was being said, though? I mean, how does it work? Regulation was nuts as it was. Overtime one was nuts. And you guys just have to keep going. Overtime two, overtime three. Knowing you've got to play again. Not the same team, but you've got to play again the next night. What are you saying to these guys as coaches?
Well, I think Coach Hansen said it best just on the after the first time out, first overtime was how bad do you guys want it? It said, do you guys want to win this game or not? It's going to come down to how bad which team wants it the most is going to get the win. And, you know, Saturday night doesn't even come into your mind. You're just focused on getting the win at that night.
Jason, as a player, is it more of a fear of losing or more wanting to win in that kind of game?
No, it's definitely wanting to win, right? We're not coming in here to lose. We're not thinking about that at all. It's come out with a W, and that's number one priority.
Okay, so the atmosphere of that gym, absolutely crazy. It was Adam Friesen's big comeback. Adam, not the greatest game on Friday night. He played pretty good, but describe his performance on Friday and what it was like for him in that atmosphere.
I thought Adam handled himself really well. Right from the get-go, he seemed to be pretty calm, didn't get too excited about the game itself. I mean, most guys get really overly aroused and are too excited and start making a lot of careless mistakes, but I thought he was huge on their pressure. Notice when he was out of the game early on, and even in the second half when they made their run, when he was on the bench, we really struggled with their pressure. So I thought when he was in the game, we did a lot better job with their pressure.
And Jason, Trinity Western as a team, I mean, I kept as an announcer, I didn't even look at trying to keep up with who their subs were. It's just, there's no point. I mean, what was it like? Every moment you'd see, it seemed every couple minutes, four or five new players out on the floor, and if I'd actually look over at their bench, and there they were having their hamstrings stretched out, lying on the ground, getting rubdowns. But what was it like as a player? Constant pressure from these guys. Everybody's taking a different player's taking a shot every time down the floor. What was it like playing against that kind of defense and offense?
Yeah, I mean, we come in with one or two subs at a time, and you look over, and they got hockey subs coming in, right? We're like, you just got to communicate, though, right? You got to talk about who you got, who's your check, and just try to figure that all out. And I think we did a pretty good job of that.
And is it mean more to a team? I mean, you know, you guys were 20-0 last year in conference schedule. It was only one win, but is that almost the kind of win that can get you guys going for the season? I mean, what did that win mean?
Yeah, I mean, it showed a lot. I mean, a lot of just character, and everyone played huge down the stretch. So, I mean, I think we have a lot of confidence going into our other league games now, and I think we're on the right track.
Tougher conference schedule, tougher Pacific Division this season, because even SFU on Saturday night, I mean, 11 points, that's not what it was like last year. You are 2-0, but the scores weren't the wide margins we had 1 year ago.
Right? Yeah, no question. All the teams that have been around for a while, Trinity, SFU, ourselves, and Vic, we're all stronger than previous years, as evidenced by the scores in the game. The SFU score, I think, was a little more closer just because we were pretty exhausted from the night before. It's pretty tough to bounce back from three overtimes, as evidenced by Trinity getting blown out the next night by Victoria. So I think that's no question. All the teams are a lot more, lot stronger this year.
And what was it, though, Vern, coaches, anything, Friday night? That's the one I saw, and that's the one I want to get to. You did give up 128 points in that game, and 97 in regulation. So are you working more on the defensive side of the ball, or is that just the way Trinity plays and you just have to deal with it?
Well, it's a combination of both. Trinity does play that style, and it's tough to adjust to. It's a different – they're the only team really in the league that plays like that. It's just helter-skelter, kamikaze kind of basketball. Obviously, by like even today's practice, we did focus more on defense. It's kind of been the objective from the start of the year was focus on defense and rebounding. By evidence, by Friday, we still had a lot of work to do in that department. But, you know, it keeps us to face reality that we have to work on that every single day, and that's what one of our goals still is.
And, Jason, it showed me a lot, this UBC Thunder basketball team, and Trinity Western for that matter, but with you guys, KC 28, you had 28. In a game where your team scored 130, no individual player at 30 points. So, real, is it that good for a basketball team that everybody can score?
I think so. I think it's a great thing when so many different guys can score a high number, and we have everyone contributing, you know? So I like it widespread. Everyone touches the ball, everyone's involved, and everyone feels good about their game.
And Vern, there was a stretch there, and he had a solid basketball game. Chris Dick on Friday night for you guys really made some big plays.
Yep, and that's what we expect out of him. We brought him in from Manitoba for one of those reasons, to give us some scoring punch. And I think Chris, as he gets more familiar with how the coaching staff wants him to play, how our team goes about its business, I think you're only going to see him get better as the season goes on.
Where did that game rank regular season for just pure craziness? For you, Jace. For you.
For me, it's got to be one of the top three or four games that I've played in. I mean, it was very entertaining. I've had a lot in high school, but at UBC, this is probably one of the regular season closest games we've had since I've been here.
Yeah, no question. I've been here now 7 years. Without doubt, the highest scoring game we've been part of. Anytime you got teams scoring in the 120s, even in the hundreds, is great, exciting basketball. And I think anyone that went to that game didn't go home disappointed.
No, I mean, I was saying it on the radio broadcast, was you had the football game here that night. Alexander Ovechkin was in town playing against the Canucks. It was apparently a great hockey game, but not much was going to compete with that UBC Trinity Western basketball game. And I was just happy. I mean, there was no coverage for that game, too, with the football team playing at home, the last game of the season. So it was a great show put on by Trinity Western and UBC. We're going to get many more of those this year, or... You don't want them that close, huh?
I hope we're scoring in the hundreds. I just don't want them that close. And we can save the overtimes for other teams. I'd rather not have to participate in too many triple overtime games. It's too hard on the heartbeat there. Yeah.
And Jason, is it a good thing for you guys? Regular season, ideally you win the conference now and you don't have to go there. Last time, you will go to Langley and play this year. Is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, good and bad. Good because, you know, we're done there. Hopefully we've won and we'll be hosting the playoffs. Obviously that's our goal. But bad because of the atmosphere there. You love to play in places like that, right? So you'll miss that.
Awesome. So this week you guys do go on the road, Lethbridge and Calgary.
No, we're hosting.
I'm sorry. You're hosting Lethbridge and Calgary. We're doing the women's hockey game, the women's basketball game, and the men's hockey game this weekend. But break down those matchups. Non-divisional play, Calgary and Lethbridge.
Both different teams. Both have quite a bit of size. Again, they'll be kind of different styles. Calgary will kind of throw a few different zones at you. To be honest, I haven't seen too much of the video yet. That's more Coach Hanson and Nora's job right now. They'll be tough games. Like, they're Canada West games. This year doesn't look like there's going to be any easy games in Canada West. So it's just worry about Friday night's game first, and then we'll worry about Saturday come Saturday morning.
Where do these guys rank, though, within the pantheon of Canada West teams?
I think Lethbridge and Calgary Calgary has a chance to possibly win their division. I think Saskatchewan's probably in their division the team to beat. I know Calgary, Alberta probably battling it out for second, third, with Lethbridge maybe in the mix. You know, you got to kind of take care of your home games first and hope to win on the road. So it's kind of up for grabs. It really is too early in the year to tell who's really the favorite.
And Jason, I'd like to ask you guys about this next week if I'm able to. You're going to play at Stanford in just over 1 week's time. Or is it next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, you're going to be playing at Stanford. You excited for that game as a player?
Are you kidding me? That gives me chills. I mean, since we've been here, we've played some great NCAA teams, but we've never got to go anywhere. I was talking to Brent Malice just in the team room right now, and I was like, you're a lucky guy, because I think it's just going to get better from here on out in the next few years. And this is my last year. And fortunately enough, at least I get to go to Stanford and play there.
So you guys are bussing down?
No, we're flying down.
Oh, high glass treatment.
Of course. Coach Hanson would have it no other way.
So you're flying down, and I guess I'm not going to be able to interview you guys about that game, so we'll do it right now. Jason, so you are stoked, you are excited. Are all the players just excited for this game, Coach?
They should be, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say they're all excited.
And what's the word? What's Stanford going to be playing in this game? How are they approaching it? I mean, it's a home game for them, so.
For them, it's their season opener. So they start the season with a home game, so they should have a pretty good crowd. As for what they're, you know, they're perennially top, you know, making the final 64 of the tournament in previous year. I'm not sure how they did last year, but usually they're in the tournament, perennial Sweet 16 team. They'll be a tough matchup.
So you're going to go down there, show the American team what you can do?
That's the plan. I mean, we've played a few already. We've got all that experience under our belt. We've had a few close ones, so hopefully we can pull this one off in Stanford.
And you're flying down.
We're flying down.
Where's Stanford? It's Northern California, isn't it?
Yeah, near San Francisco, just outside of San Francisco somewhere.
Well, tra-la-la. UBC men's basketball team in one of the most exciting games you will ever see in the regular season. I can say that?
Yes.
In the regular season, in Canada West action, 130 to 128 winners. I still, you know what? It's a game. I tell people the game I did, and all I do is I say the score. I say what the score was at the end of regulation, and I say what the high scores were of each team. And then I'll say, I mean, let me ask you this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did anybody have, after they tied you guys, after you let that lead slip away, before you blinked, it was gone. I couldn't believe it. Did anybody lead by more than 5 points after that? I don't think so.
No, it was pretty much neck and neck, just lead changes every other possession. So, yeah, it was a wild one.
Ever a fear you guys were going to lose that game, Jason? Because you actually hit some shots to keep you guys going.
No, you can't have those thoughts in your head at that point of the game. You can only think about winning the game.
Coach, you had to. I mean,
no, never.
Oh, come on.
Always know and think we're going to win at all times.
You know it. 130 to 128 winners at Langley versus Trinity Western in a hostile environment. Then they came back. They took care of business against SFU 79-68. Well, you guys were 20-0 last year. It was a fun weekend. UBC 2-0, off to a great start. They're going to be hosting Lethbridge and Calgary on the weekend. And then 1 week today, they're going to be in Stanford in Northern California, taking on the Stanford Cardinals? What?
Not plural. Just think about it. Stanford Cardinal.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Taking on the Stanford Cardinal. Yeah. Who is it? Was it that Mark Madsen? Was that his name?
That's the one, yeah.
He used to play for them?
Yeah.
He used to play for them. So cool. Awesome.
School's mascot's a tree, by the way.
It's a tree?
It's a tree. True yes. story. It's a tree.
It's a cardinal.
It's a cardinal, but
the tree.
Let's not judge him now.
Well, it's a tree. That's all I can tell you.
UBC and Stanford, that game will be on next Tuesday. Best of luck to you guys there. But first, it's a lot of basketball for this team to play Friday and Saturday. Lethbridge come to town, and then the Calgary Dinos. It's Dinos now, too, isn't it?
Sounds good, yeah.
That's why I'm impressed with UBC. You got the Victoria Vikes, Calgary Dinos. You guys at least kept your name. Yeah. Although I don't exactly know what a Thunderbird is. Some kind of an eagle?
Sure, I couldn't help you with that one either.
It's a good-looking bird, though.
It is a good-looking bird, especially when it's winning.
Awesome. UBC, thanks a lot. Jason Beery. Jason had 28 points in that great game versus Trinity on Friday, all in the second half and overtime. So where were you in the first half?
I don't know, man. I was there.
You have to ask Coach Hanson on that one. We'll blame it on him.
I was just waiting until the game got a little tight, and then I showed
up. You're like, okay.
I don't know.
Awesome. Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick break right now. Wilson Wong will be back with us. We got a lot more to talk about in UBC Thunderbird Athletics. Thanks for Coach here and Jason Beering. We'll be right back in a moment. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR.
When we first moved to New York, we had a great apartment that was dirt cheap.
And we found out why it was so cheap.
Our friend Amy said there was a great apartment in her building.
Dirt cheap, but it's a hotel for women. Okay, we made one adjustment.
Now these other ladies know us as Buffy and Hildegard.
But they also know us as Kip and Henry, Buffy and Hildy's brothers. I am crazy about the blonde.
This experience is going to make a great book.
See, it's all perfectly normal.
I don't need you to worry for me, 'cause I'm alright. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home.
How are you?
That sounds familiar.
Give me a little bit of a break here, okay?
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Oh, why give me a break?
Yeah.
I'm pathetic. You know that. What, do you want me to admit it? Because I do.
Because I do. Awesome. We're here with Wilson Wong. You know, Wilson, we've got... Normally, I do a half hour of UBC to start off the show. Then I get into professional sports from there or other sports. But this weekend, you got to give UBC some props here. We got some big, big games. All the teams are getting into it. And before we do get into it again, Wilson, I want to kill some more time here. It's the end of October, and you've got field hockey national championships. You've got soccer getting into the playoffs. Isn't it a little early for all these teams to already be finished? I just feel like we're just getting going here.
Yeah, I guess so, but some sports you can't play in the winter. Simple as that.
Okay, touche. All right. You know where I'm coming from, though.
Yeah, it seems weird that most of the kids just started school, and then they're done.
Yeah, that's it. Game over. Especially football.
Yeah.
Especially football. All right, Wilson, let's get into it. USC losing to Oregon State on the weekend.
I hate USC.
I was about to try to get us into some NCAA Division I football.
And go Boise State, though.
West Virginia and Louisville do have a big game, though, on Thursday.
They do. That should be very exciting.
I do like it, and we're going to kill a little more time here. Is U.S. college football, we have semifinals this year. You know that.
Yeah, well, no.
No, you do. You do.
I guess, yeah.
You get whoever wins Louisville, West Virginia, if they go undefeated the rest of the way, probably goes to the national championship game. And whoever wins Ohio State, Michigan, if they go undefeated the rest of the way, probably goes to the national championship game.
It depends. I mean, there's some people who say that even a one-loss Auburn or Michigan might, or Ohio State, whoever, might still get into the national championship game.
Okay. Good.
And don't forget, Louisville, even if they beat West Virginia, they have a game at Rutgers the next week.
Rutgers is like number 15, right?
And undefeated.
Rutgers is undefeated?
Yes.
I didn't know that. So if Rutgers beats Louisville, they got to be in the mix if Louisville beats West Virginia.
And then hell will freeze over.
Oh, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Who did Auburn lose to?
Arkansas.
Wow, well done. I watched the end of that.
Yeah.
I watched the end of that. All right, let's get into UBC stuff right now, Wilson. I've done enough. It's 5 p.m. here. UBC Thunderbird Sports, lots of national championships. There's conference finals on the weekend. Lots going on. But, Wilson, we got to start off talking about the UBC Thunderbird men's football team going on the road, first round of the playoffs. Much better season. They came in third in the conference. UBC getting ready to go to Saskatchewan to take on the Huskies on the weekend. What kind of game are we looking at, Wilson? It's playoff time. UBC football, UBC and the Saskatchewan Huskies.
I see about a 30-point blowout for Saskatchewan.
Why so?
This team, you know, you say they had a better season, but they didn't. They finished 4-4. I mean, same mark as last couple of years. They only get to this mark because they play SFU twice. They played Saskatchewan and Alberta closer, but I just don't think this team is any, you know, that much better than the previous years. Chris Chinsky, I don't know if he's going to be able to play. I'm sure he's going to play. He rested this weekend last weekend against Manitoba. He's really their key. I mean, he can really change a game for UBC, but this team doesn't really impress me that much, and I really don't think they have what it takes to go out to Saskatchewan and then beat the Huskies.
So, Wilson, you said it, two wins versus SFU, which had some games that were epically horrible this season, to say the least. But did it sort of convince you UBC, second-to-last game of the season, they're rolling along, they're looking okay, and they lose to Calgary?
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. I mean, UBC, yes, they were playing their second game in a week. But you have to remember also that no one could have drawn up the schedule any easier because they had played winless SFU in the previous game, and then they went to winless Calgary. How much more easier do you want to have it? I mean, they could have had them at home, I guess. But they went out there and blew a 27-8 lead. So I really don't think this team has what it takes to even get a playoff victory.
And Wilson, field hockey, we've got a national championship here moving on. What's going to happen? It's going to be here at UBC. the Field Hockey National Championships are in town.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange tournament because only two leagues actually play field hockey. But what you're seeing is a really, really top level of field hockey here in Canada. And, it was here last year, and I remember Trevor Powell, our former sports director here, he was so surprised at how fast the game was. And it's going to be like that here again this year. The UBC team is seeded number one. Head coach Hash Khan, you said this year's team is much deeper and much more experienced and just a higher caliber than the team last year that lost in penalty strokes to Alberta. So it could be another national championship for UBC. Of course, they have to get by teams like Victoria, which is always their big rival. And the number two team in this year's tournament is Toronto, and between them, I believe the schools have about 30 national championships.
Awesome. So that'll be great. That'll be going on here next weekend. And Wilson, the UBC Thunderbirds women's soccer team going to Regina for the Canada West Championship. UBC coming into that in, what are they? They're third place, I believe it is. They're going to be taking on the sixth seed Regina Cougars in the first round. Regina this year 1-2-1. Victoria and Alberta are the teams that got byes to the second round. So it's six teams make it. Two teams get a bye to the second round. Two of these six teams will advance to the CIS Championships. But Wilson, this is a UBC Thunderbird women's soccer team. I hope I have my stats right. They have not given up a goal since September 30th, 1 month ago exactly today.
Absolutely. I mean, they're the hottest team in the league right now. They have an eight-game shutout streak. They were the only team this year to beat Victoria, the number one team and the defending national champion. So they're coming in really, really hot, and they have a really easy game against Regina in the first round. They're only there because they're hosting. They weren't even close to getting a win this year, Regina. So it was pretty lucky for them that they make the playoffs because they're hosting, but they're going to get crushed against UBC, and then we'll see what the next round is. But I think UBC has a really good chance. They're playing really well, and they're not giving up any goals, and that's the big part.
Well, there's some good teams, though, Wilson. They're going to have to beat Trinity or Alberta to make it to the national championships. We'll see if they can do it. And on the men's side here, you've got them going into their Canada West Championship, the fourth-ranked UBC Thunderbird men's team. They get a bye into the semifinals. Only one berth is available to the CIS Championship. However, there's a little bit of a kink to it, as one of them goes to Alberta, who is, I believe, Wilson, the number one seed in this tournament. So pretty much the second-place team is going to make it. So probably, if UBC is able to win their semifinal game, they will advance to the national championships.
It's kind of a weird way of doing it, and a weird way of, I guess, knowing what's going to happen. But, yeah, I guess so. And UBC is going to have, like the women, they're going to have a tough game.
They're taking on Calgary.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be tough, but they have a lot of experience. They won the national championship last year, and just speaking with the coach, Mike Mosher, at halfway through the season, he wasn't really worried. His team, you know, had lost once and didn't play as well as he thought they should be, but he just said, you know, this is the tournament always that doesn't matter where you're seated. Basically, he says, just get in there playing well, and all you need to do is win two or maybe in this point one game, and you're to the Nationals. And I think for him, it's much more important that the team is playing well, and UBC did play very well in their final season game. They beat Calgary 3-0 to close out the year. So I guess the Birds are looking good on both sides in soccer.
All right, so keeping it going right now, Wilson, we're going to move on to the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team. They absolutely blew out Trinity Western in Langley on Friday, a game which you got to hear half of it.
Yeah, half of it.
Approximately half of it. And then they came home and they had they call it a thriller versus SFU on Saturday, winning that one by 2 points. And Wilson, I was told there were 1,100 people at the women's game. Is that true?
I think 1,100 is a pretty generous estimate. But it was a very strange game because you knew it was the home opener beginning the season, and except for about the 12 or 13 travel calls, this game really felt like a playoff game. It was really strange. It was one of the first two games of the year, but it really felt like a playoff game. It was really intense. The fans were into it, and you knew that even though Simon Fraser had at its biggest lead at 9 points, you knew that UBC was going to be able to sort of manage their way back, and they did. And it was a really exciting, close game, and it was really fun to watch there.
And Wilson, I missed it, but you got to see the men's game on Saturday. How was that one?
It was kind of, you know what? It was almost kind of a letdown after watching the women's game and, you know, after hearing about the triple overtime game that they had played the night before. It was almost like a letdown, but the two teams, I think, played a pretty competitive half. Simon Fraser, I think, is much improved in terms of depth from last year, so they were able to keep it close. And one of the weirder things that we heard that night was the fact that even after playing the three overtime game, Alex Murphy had said that the strategy for UBC was try to outrun the Clan, which was strange. But it also made sense because the Clan really liked to slow pace down and really pounded inside, as we saw Greg Wallace, college transfer from Victoria. He lit it up inside for Simon Fraser at about 27 points, I believe, but no one else really did anything for Simon Fraser, and that's, again, where I think they are a couple of steps behind Trinity, Victoria, and UBC, is that they don't have the depth that the Birds or the Clan or the Vikes have.
UBC won that game 79-68. Wilson, from the women's perspective, you're going to be doing the game versus Lethbridge on Friday night, correct?
That's right, yep.
And Saturday they've got Calgary coming to town. Give us a little preview here, and especially the one on Friday that we're going to be carrying on this radio station, UBC Lethbridge Friday night at the War Memorial Gym.
Well, Lethbridge, they're always kind of sort of adequate, right, you know, in the middle of the pack there. It's a very tough division they play in, very tough conference, and they always have a little bit of trouble recruiting sort of the top tier of players, and it's the same thing this year, but they're usually pretty tough, and they have a couple of BC players on that team as well, so it should be interesting for fans to come out and see. I think it really depends on what UBC comes out and does. Are they going to look ahead to maybe Calgary, or how are they going to even just get themselves motivated for playing Lethbridge after coming off that big win against Simon Fraser? You know, they talk about taking it the same way and treating it the same way, but every normal person, you know, reacts in pretty much the same way. They get up for a big game, and, you know, there's a little bit of a letdown when you know you're playing a team that's probably much weaker than you are.
And UBC Thunderbird men's hockey, Wilson, let's get into that one, and then we'll let you go. Got to move on here. Manitoba coming to town here. UBC Thunderbird men's hockey currently sitting with a record of 3 wins and 3 losses. Manitoba coming to play UBC in a home game at Minoru Arena in Richmond. I'm just happy I know where that is.
Well, hopefully fans will know where that is.
It's right by where my grandparents live, actually. It's right by Minoru Park, right?
Oh, there you go.
I know where that is.
It's another one of those road home games that UBC is going to have to play. I think Manitoba is one of those teams that UBC has to beat twice here at home. I think they're really going to make a push for a home playoff date, and UBC has had a bye week this week to really prepare for this Manitoba team. You know, it's kind of hard to predict what might happen, but I think UBC really needs to get, I think, full points this weekend to really sort of make it a realistic shot at hosting a playoff series.
All right, Wilson Wong. Wilson, thanks a bundle for doing this. I know you're busy right now, but you did it anyways, and I do appreciate it.
Just one more thing.
Yeah, what?
One more thing. The swimming team, your 9-time defending national champion.
I actually bumped, sorry to cut you out there, Wilson, I actually bumped into Brian Johns.
Oh, very nice.
At the pizza parlor just now, and he bought pizza and a pop, a Coca-Cola. What's Coke Zero?
It's the Coke with no calories.
No calories?
Or something.
Isn't that just Diet Coke?
I don't know.
Okay, anyways, he got Coke Zero and a piece of pizza. And I bumped into him, and we said hello to each other. And I go, is this what Olympic athletes eat?
What did he say?
He goes, I'm between practice and class. And I'm thinking, you did a lot more than I did today. Go on, Wilson.
I just wanted to let people know that this weekend there's the College's Cup, which is taking place at the Aquatic Center. So there's a chance for fans to actually come out and see this dominant swimming team that UBC has. And did you, one more thing. Did you ask him about that interview that you did with him a couple of years ago?
No. Why?
I just remembered he liked talking about the drug test.
I loved it. I loved it. I've replayed it. I had nauseam, actually. That was one of those interviews when I'd show up unprepared.
Yeah.
Oh, let's just play some Brian Johns interview.
And you've let out your big secret.
And I've let it out. Awesome. Wilson Wong. Wilson, thanks a bunch. Wilson will be at the War Memorial Gym this Friday as UBC's taking on the Lethbridge Pronghorns.
That's right.
And we are that
You're
same...
having trouble with names this week.
And we are that... Well, I just find them so stupid. And we are... At that same night, going to be in Manitoba at Mineral Arena. Mikey Wall and I, as the UBC Letterman men's hockey team, will be taking on the Manitoba Bisons. At least that makes a little bit of sense.
That does.
I know what a what do they call them?
Buffalo.
It's sort of a buffalo. I can't remember that word either. Wilson, I gotta go.
Take care.
Thanks a bundle. What are you doing for Halloween? Since I've talked to you last, any plans made?
Sitting at home in the dark.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Wilson. So who do you like on Thursday, West Virginia or Louisville?
West Virginia.
Yeah, why? Isn't that where Marcus Vick went?
No, that's Virginia Tech.
Excuse me.
I don't know.
Awesome. And who do you like, Rutgers, Louisville?
Rutgers.
You like Rutgers, eh? How's Boise State?
They're undefeated.
No.
They have a big game.
Are they one of those undefeated teams that will finish like 20th in the country at the end of the year?
Pretty much. But here's the interesting thing. They blew out Oregon State earlier in the year.
Who beat USC?
There you go.
What conference are they in?
The WAC, the Western Athletic Conference.
Where was Utah?
They're in the Mountain West.
Okay, because they made it to a bowl game.
That's right.
They blew out Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Yeah, the winner of the... Was that last year?
That was 2 years ago.
Who was their quarterback? They had like a... Famous,
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. What would I do without you?
You'd play Brian Johns.
I'd play a Brian Johns interview. Wilson Wong. Wilson, thanks a bundle, and enjoy the dark room.
I will.
All right. Thanks, Wilson.
Bye.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6. I'm loopy today, and that's really all there is to it. So, once again, folks, it is Halloween, and it's a fun day, Halloween. I didn't go to a Halloween party last year or this year. But they are good parties. Boy, am I a loser. No, I'm not, but I have been. Maybe I am. I don't know. Anyways, folks, Vancouver Canucks, they are home. Puck dropping in just over an hour and a half time. Coming back after the break to talk to us all about that and some little National Hockey League talk is going to be Dave Chernichan from News 1130 Radio. He's going to be with us as the Canucks currently sit at, I believe it's 7 wins, 4 losses, and 1 tie. Last game they played, that big one Friday night, Alexander Ovechkin came to town, a shootout win. But I say it, the more exciting game, 130-128, UBC beat Trinity Western in men's basketball, triple overtime. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Dave from News 1130.
Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby Doo, I see you. Pretending you got a sliver. You're not fooling me, cause I can't see. Shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve.
Everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Joining us on the line right now, where are you in? Are you at GM Place on your way? Where are you?
I'll be on my way to GM Place in about 40 minutes.
Awesome. So with us right now, Dave Chernichan from News 1130. So Dave, the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Nashville Predators tonight. Any exciting things at the morning skate this morning?
You know what? I did not make the morning skate today, but I will say this, that you can bring me on to Scooby-Doo anytime. About time you finally played a decent song to bring me on to.
That was the original 1969 version.
You know? No, and I appreciate that. That's good stuff.
Thank
My
you.
Daughters are big Scooby-Doo fans, so it's kind of like revitalizing everything. No, I skipped out on the morning skate today, mainly because I had to work the night shift last night here at News 1130. But I was at the Canucks at the Super Skills competition in practice, and I'll tell you one thing, that these guys, they're starting to really gain some confidence in themselves, that I think everybody who is really fearful of so many road games so early in the season, I think it really turned out to be a positive, because with all of these new faces in the lineup, 14 to be exact, you know, there was a lot of room for growth, and you can't do that at home when you finish up your ice session, whether it's a game or practice, and guys all head their separate ways. You know, when teams are on the road, they have to stay together, they bond together, they hang out together, and it really gets guys knowing one another and what, you know, and I think the Canucks are seeing the benefit of that right now.
And Dave, the Western Conference, the Canucks are off to a good start right now, but all it has done, if you want to sort of look at it from a, you know, whine about some stuff here, and all it's done is gotten them into sixth place in the Western Conference. And my point, Dave, is Anaheim looks like they're good. Minnesota looks like they're good. Nashville, Dallas, San Jose, Detroit. Calgary's doing poorly right now. They're probably going to come on. Edmonton's off to a good start. You got to figure out of those teams, it is going to be a very tough Western Conference this year.
Well, it is going to be a tough Western Conference. But don't forget, you know, the Canucks sitting with 9 of their first 11 games on the road, you know, you're happy to get off a road trip that long over 500. You're ecstatic. And that's exactly what the Canucks did. And I'll tell you, you know, they're 3-1 on home ice. You know, the rest, they're above 500 on the road. This is probably as best a start as they could have hoped for. Anything else would have been a bonus. And yeah, they're sitting sixth right now. But don't forget, eight of their last 10 starting last home game are at GM Place. So, I mean, I would say that the real determining factor is we've seen how this team plays in battles on the road. Let's see if they can continue it on home ice, because right now they're 3-1.
Game tonight, Dave, Nashville coming to town. I believe it was the Predators got off to an 0-3 start this season. Am I correct here?
Yes, and now they've won 6 of their last 7,
and the one
only lost coming to the Canucks
in overtime.
I mean, this is going to be a great team. I mean, don't forget, both these teams are well rested. The Canucks haven't played since Friday night. Nashville's been here. They flew in Saturday night after their game in Calgary. The boys been hanging out at the Roxy every night since. You know, doing their thing. And you know what? These teams are two well-rested clubs right now. You know, the only thing that kind of bothers me about tonight's game is, why is it tonight?
You don't like games on Halloween.
You know, not just that, okay? But what bothers me is, okay, it doesn't bother me that they're playing hockey tonight on Halloween night. But the thing that bothers me is, here you have two teams who've literally been waiting around for 4 days. Why wasn't this game played last night? And you know what? A lot of these Canuck players, usually the Canucks have been on the road during Halloween. I mean, these guys have families, too. I realize hockey is their job and everything, but these guys have families, too. And this game could have been played last night with both teams sitting idle for 3 days plus. You know, it wouldn't have harmed the schedule. And sometimes I really question the NHL schedulers.
Well, Dave, from my perspective, I couldn't watch the game last night. I can watch it tonight, so I'm happy.
Well, and the flip side, they don't want to go head-to-head with Monday Night Football either.
Oh, well, they proved that wrong, Dave. That theory can be thrown out the toilet.
That was
when
a horrible game.
When the old Dallas Stars were hosting the Canucks. And how many people were there? About 4,000 or 5,000 probably actually made the trip to the game in Dallas as the Canucks took on Dallas. Monday Night Football. Cowboys, Giants in Dallas going on at the same time. What were they thinking, honestly, on that one? Did you get an answer?
No, I mean, it's the craziness of the schedule. I mean, it's games like that where the NHL hurts themselves. I realize that they can't bend or conform to other teams' schedules and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But you know what? I mean, the NHL has to do a better job of being smart about their schedule or what they're going up against. I mean, that game should not have been played in Dallas that night, that's for sure.
Dave, you were at the rink on Friday, I take it?
Yes.
How good was that game?
It was phenomenal. It was a great game. I think we saw two great goaltenders in Luongo, of course, and then Olaf Kolzig, who's an old family friend of mine. And, you know, Canucks threw everything at Kolzig but the kitchen sink. And a couple of bad mistakes defensively by the Canucks. And Washington pounced, and thanks to Alexander Ovechkin, he with a goal and an assist. But I really like the way the Canucks are playing right now. They're playing with a lot of energy. They're supporting. And, you know, I did an interview with a station down in the U.S. Before this one. And the one thing that I like about, like I said on there, and I'll say it again, is you know things are going well when Marcus Naslund is back-checking. You know, I mean, I've followed this team for, this is my sixth season now, and I don't recall seeing Marcus Naslund back-check the way he's back-checking these days. And I think that's good because it shows if your captain is bought into the program with the new coach, then everybody else can buy in just as easily. It's much more difficult on a captain because he's usually named captain by the old regime, which was happened here, okay? And it's tough for a captain and a new coach to get on the same page. But I think Marcus is really showing his value right now, and the other guys are really hopping on his back to try and ride along the winning train right now.
So, Canucks, I guess the key word we're getting out of everybody is the media was right. Everybody's saying it. Work ethic, definitely a factor for the Canucks this season, wasn't there a year ago.
No, and there was no consequence a year ago under Coach Mark Crawford because you knew Crawford was never going to bench Naslund. He was never going to bench Bertuzzi. He was never going to bench Jovanovski. He was never going to bench anybody from his core, whether they played great or they played like crap. And I really do believe that the way the Canucks are playing right now with everybody buying in under Alain Vigneault, and especially with Vigneault really making guys accountable to each other, I really do believe that in the long run, that's more beneficial to this hockey club.
Awesome. So, Dave, they're going to be taking on Nashville tonight, and I want to talk to you. I only do my show once a week, of course. I want to talk to you about the game on Thursday in Minnesota. How impressive have the Minnesota Wild been this season, and what kind of game are we going to be looking at Thursday night, Vancouver, Minnesota?
Well, don't forget, I mean, Marian Gaborik is out of Minnesota's lineup right now. He's day-to-day with a groin injury. But, you know, Minnesota's dangerous. I mean, Brian Ralston, he bounced around the NHL more than J.J. Daniel or Brent Ashton ever did. And, I mean, here's a guy, all of a sudden he's turning into a perennial 30-goal scorer under Jacques Lemaire. I mean, Lemaire is a great coach. You know, I mean, yes, we know Lemaire for his defensive schemes that he has played for years back in his days in New Jersey and in the first five seasons of the Wild. But, I mean, I think he's really showing that, you know, that he can play offensively. And Doug Risebrough gave him a mandate in the offseason, we need to score some goals. So they went out and got Dimitra. They got some good goal scorers. And Lemaire's been able to adapt to that because his defensive clutching and grabbing style doesn't work in today's new NHL.
He won Stanley Cups as a player, obviously, quite a bit of them, quite several of them at least, and he got his in New Jersey. Is it possible, and can we say Jacques Lemaire, he's great at just using the hand that he's dealt?
I think so, but I mean, it helps when you have good drafting and you have good, young, solid players with the right free agents added to your clubhouse. I mean, Doug Risebrough, you know, must have really done his homework over this past summer because, I mean, some of the guys that he's drafted really stepped it up. He's given young guys an opportunity. And now that Lemaire feels that his younger players are more defined defensively and understand what it takes to play both ends of the ice, now he's loosened up the reins a little bit and said, okay, boys, you know how to play defensively. Don't forget that role, but let's bring it home and put the puck in the net as well.
Awesome. Dave, I just want to ask you about a couple more players, former Canucks. Dan Kluche and the Los Angeles Kings, coached by Mark Crawford. What is going on there? They're 4-8-2. Kluche's numbers are atrocious, to say the least. What's happening in Los Angeles? And what's wrong with Dan Kluche? Is this, you know?
I think with L.A., they have, I mean, you take away Rob Blake, who's not really having a Rob Blake-type season. Mattias Norrstrom's a little bit older. I think they don't have many good quality defensemen. I mean, yeah, they got Brent Sopel. Canuck fans are very familiar with him, but Sopel's never been very strong in his own end. He can be a defensive liability, and I think Crawford, of course, is going to ride Kluche to the bone, but Dan's got to step up. I mean, maybe it has something to do with him going to the goaltender mask from his usual helmet, which he was used to for all those years. I mean, that could be a big thing. I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet. But I will say that I'm very disappointed by L.A.'s start. I think it's good for Crawford because it might bring Crawford's ego back down into check a little bit. And, you know, but for Kluche, trust me when I say this, is just a quality individual as a person, let alone a hockey player. I really wish that he could get back to form, but I don't think that, I think the LA Kings aren't very responsible with their forwards getting back into the defensive zone. They're young, they're rebuilding, and I don't think all the blame can be put on Kluche for that.
And, Dave, moving on here, talking about some other former Vancouver Canucks, Ed Jovanovski, the Phoenix Coyotes, they're off to a horrible start. He's not doing very well there. And Anson Carter, one goal in Columbus. They've played 9 games, so there's 2 other Canucks having bad starts, former Canucks.
Yeah, I mean, starting off with Carter, I think everybody kind of saw that one coming. You know, in the offseason, it was a big question. Did Carter make the Sedins, or did the Sedins make Carter? Well, the Sedins have combined for, I believe, 28, 29 points. Carter has 2 points. And, you know, I mean, looking at how Taylor Pyatt is playing with the Sedins could play it with anybody. I mean, you could be on that line. I could be on that line. We'd probably score 30 goals this season.
I can't skate.
Well, all you got to do is get your way to the front of the net, right? I think Carter's a big disappointment. There's some word that his shoulder that he had troubles with last year is causing him a little bit of grief this year. But, I mean, for $2.5 million, I mean, man, was Dave Nonis bang on that decision? And we all wrote him. I'm one to admit I wasn't happy that he didn't go out and re-sign Carter. But, I mean, looking at the scenario now, you know, maybe Carter got a little too greedy, right? And for $2.5 million, that's a hefty investment for a guy 12 games into the season who has 1 goal, 1 assist. And as for Jovanovski, well, I'm actually quite disappointed in Phoenix. I mean, you look at their roster, they have good players. Their defensive core should be solid, led by Derek Morris and Nick Boynton and Ed Jovanovski. And why they're not playing well, I don't know. I mean, you listen to all the experts, they say, hey, it's not Gretzky. You know, Gretzky's putting in the game plan. But I think it might be Gretzky.
I mean, Dave, there's going to come a time where Phoenix keeps doing poorly, maybe not this season, but into next year, if it's year 3 and still nothing's going on, we might, dare we say it, hear people criticize Wayne Gretzky.
Well, exactly. And you know, I wasn't a fan of Gretzky coming into the coaching ranks in the first place. I think too many players who had good NHL careers think, oh, well, it was easy for me. I can come in and coach. Coaching is such a different beast. I've always found the coaches, excuse me, the most successful coaches in the NHL are the ones who had very marginal careers or no NHL career as a player. You know, that's what, I mean, you look at some of the top coaches ever in the league, whether it was Toe Blake or Mike Keenan.
Sorry to cut you off, Dave. The one that comes to mind with me are the Sutter brothers. Well, guys like that.
Why hasn't Brian Sutter coached in the league in 6 years?
I guess so.
Right? You know, Scotty Bowman, another coach. You know, you just can't plug a player in and say, okay, well, you got a good sound hockey mind, be my coach. And there's too much of that in the NHL. I mean, Ken Hitchcock's another great example. He never played in the NHL, but he's done great as a coach. You know, I mean, Don Hay has never really been given an opportunity. The Vancouver Giants coach, well, he's had a couple NHL jobs, but never given the time to really turn things around. But I'm not a big fan of players turning in coaches. And the crappy part about it is, you know, I mean, Gretzky has such a golden legacy. Will this tarnish his image? You know, because he's not doing well down there.
Well, we'll find out. He still has time to turn around. Dave, one last question here is Todd Bertuzzi. I heard word they're getting his back checked out. What have you heard there?
It looks like his back spasms are worse than anticipated, and from what I'm hearing, he's probably going to have back surgery, and I really feel for him because he was off to a great start the first few games. He had like 5 points in three games for Florida. And, you know, you feel for him because you really wanted him to have a good turnaround this season. Where I don't feel bad for him is the people in the hockey pool that I set up who took Bertuzzi. You know, I don't feel bad for that. But, you know, it's hard for any team to have a $7 million player or $6.5 million player sitting on the bench and might be out an extended period of time because with the new salary cap, you just can't go fill that hole.
And, Dave, also with the salary cap, if old Todd Bertuzzi has back surgery, good luck. Good luck for him getting one, and especially good luck for the team that signs him. Unrestricted free agency might not be too plentiful for Todd Bertuzzi in this offseason.
Well, I think he knows, too, that he's not a $6 million player anymore. But then again, it is Todd. He may think that he's a $10 million player. But we'll have to wait and see what happens, you know. Right now, that deal is sure turning out in the Canucks' favor because, I mean, look at the way Roberto Luongo has played and Lucas Krajicek has really been a pleasant surprise on the Canucks' D-line, although I'd like to see a little bit more offense out of him. But, I mean, Allen has just been silent over there. Alex Auld really hasn't stole the show. And then, you know, getting in a fight with Eddie Belfour there in a New York bar and getting stitches that night. I mean, you know, and then Bertuzzi going down. Really, that trade is looking pretty one-sided right now.
Well, Dave, you look at it, Jovo, Carter, Bertuzzi, Kluche, all these big names leaving, ain't one of them doing a thing right now.
No, I mean, and it just goes to show that sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side when it comes to the money. But on the flip side, anybody would be crazy enough to turn down a 5-year, $32 million contract like Jovo got from Phoenix.
Absolutely. Sorry, Dave, one more thing. Willie Mitchell, he okay?
I think Mitchell's going to be out another 2 to 4 weeks. The Canucks are saying they're going to reevaluate him in about 7 days. So before he can begin light workouts, he has to have 24 hours where symptom-free. And what I mean by light workouts is on a stationary bike just to see how he goes. He got rocked pretty hard, and you know what? That comes into the whole debate: is should the NHL be using that tempered glass like they use, because it is so rock hard? And how many concussions have we seen players get from their heads being squashed against that glass compared to the old plexiglass style, where there was actually bending and movement in that? You know, I realize the new glass gives the fans a better opportunity to see the game and up at close level, but, I mean, these are million-dollar players that are going down. And from what I'm hearing from Mitchell, he's still getting a little dizzy, a little lightheaded. His headaches have pretty much subsided, which is good news, but I'd still say he's at least 2 to 4 weeks away.
Awesome. Good stuff, Dave. Appreciate it as always, and enjoy the I think it's going to be a good atmosphere down there on Halloween night, so enjoy the game.
Yeah, it should be. Hopefully a lot of good costumes out there.
Awesome, Dave. Dave Churchan from News 1130. Dave, thanks a bundle, as always.
Take care.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. I hope I can find them. I might be a little too late here. Julio Caravata told him I'd call at 5:30. I'm running a little late. I'm stumbling here. It's a rough one for me today, but I'm here, and I don't want any more bears. Simpsons. Anyways, folks, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Wiener's Barbecue, hoping to be right back with Julio Caravata talk a little CFL BC Lions football. We've got the playoffs going on this week in the CFL. Hopefully we can hunt down Julio. You're listening to 101.9.
Suspicious Minds. We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see? Oh, what you doing to me? Oh, when you don't believe a word I'm saying. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. And we can't build our dreams on suspicious minds. So if an old friend I know, shove it up your nose just by to say hello, would I still see suspicion in your eyes? Here we go again. Whoa, asking where I've been. You can't see the tears I reel, I'm crying. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. Suspicious mind. Oh, let our love survive. Oh, no. Oh, dry the tears from your eyes. Let's don't let a good thing die. Oh, no. Cause, honey, you know I'll never lie to you. See, whoa, what you doing to me?
Did you like that one?
Yeah, that's all. That was your best effort. You can't go wrong with that, man.
That was the one, hey?
That's gold.
If I was a running back, what were my stats?
Oh, you just broke the record.
You just
broke the single season all-time rushing record.
Really?
Yeah, that was gold.
Well, we're here with Julio Caravato, who's playing hurt today.
Yeah.
What do you got, Julio?
I got a little bit of a stomach flu and a fever, so I had to actually had to call in sick today at work. So I don't like to do that. So I was pretty bad this morning. So
But look at you now. You're willing to help me out,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, always, Darryl, always.
Oh, you're absolutely great, Julio. I do appreciate it. But let me ask you this though: if it's playoff game, you know, your team, you're in the CFL right now, and you guys don't have the bye week. You got to play in the Western semifinal. Is Julio Caravato suiting up in this condition?
He might have to bring a porta potty out with him, but he'd probably play.
A porta potty out. So if you're a quarterback, we won't get into that. Actually,
yeah, you get my point.
Yeah, we'll just let her slide.
Yeah.
Awesome, Julio Caravato with us right now. Julio, just so you know, at the casino on the weekend after the Lions game, when you guys were doing your post-game show, I only lost $40 at the casino.
That's good for you.
Yeah, I had a comeback at the end.
Did you?
I had at blackjack, yeah.
Good for you.
I had a little roulette, though, 33-14, all the numbers I was picking, nothing hit once.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's not good.
We'll move on. All right, Julio, BC Lions, they get the bye into the Western Final. They're taking this whole week off. I'm sure they deserve it. So overall, Julio, not the most exciting. I mean, maybe we're just getting spoiled here the last two, three seasons, but Western Conference champions in the regular season, they're going to be hosting either Calgary or Saskatchewan in the first round of the playoffs. Your thoughts on the BC Lions year?
Well, you're right. I think, the fans sometimes can be pretty fickle here, and we have, I think, been a little bit spoiled with the performance of this team the last 3 years. And I think for most fans, we want to see the team, finish it. They've had a tremendous season. I think really capped off today with the announcement of really four BC Lions advancing out of the five finalists in the player awards, which is pretty impressive. And I, you know, looking down the board, you'd have to think the Lions are in the running for at least four of those. You know, they've got you got to think G.R. Simons could be an outstanding player. If Brent Johnson wins the defensive player, you got to think he's going to be the outstanding Canadian. And Aaron Hunt, I think, is a lock to win the to rookie. And then there's Rob Murphy as well, who I was a little surprised at, because I know sometimes, and I'm not surprised because I've seen him play, but I was a little surprised because I know sometimes how the voting goes with the offensive linemen, that usually they give it to the guy who's on a team that you know, leads the league in rushing, or you know, leads the league in the fewest sacks. And, you know, I think the guys probably did their homework a little bit more this year and gave it to a guy who definitely deserves it.
So, G.R.O.Y. Simon, though, let's get to him, Julio. Club record, 1,856 yards, 15 touchdowns. Is he the CFL outstanding player?
He walks away with it. And I think what really impresses me from watching this guy all year is how he literally took this whole team on his back. Offensively, really, he was the only guy who was basically a threat offensively. You know, they had some guys who were solid contributors. Don't get me wrong; I'm not trying to say that the Paris Jacksons and the Ryan Stelwells, and definitely when Joe Smith came aboard, these guys didn't contribute at all. But you think to yourself, really, G.R.O.Y. Simon was the only big play guy that they had, and when teams knew he was the only guy out there, he was still getting 100 yards or over 100 yards a game. So that's what makes it even more impressive. So. You know, it was a magical season for G.R.O.Y. I think he would be the first to admit that, and I'm sure he's not going to be satisfied with an outstanding player award. He wants to walk away with the Grey Cup as well. That's the only way that he'll feel the season is complete.
Well, G.R.O.Y., I can just say this about G.R.O.Y. Simon is I try to keep track for you guys when I'm doing the stats how many times they throw to the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And G.R.O.Y. Simon, I wish I kept track of it, and it's just not something they keep track of in the CFL. The amount of times they throw to him and the amount of times he catches the ball is astounding. It seems, I think it's about 5 out of 6 passes to him is a completion.
Yeah, and you know, another thing too, though, that's a tribute too to the quarterbacks as well. You look at the play of quarterback with the BC Lions since Dave Dickinson's been here, and then you look at Casey Printers and you look at Buck Pierce and all the guys who have come in. They're such accurate passers. You know, we're talking about guys that are averaging, you know, close to an over 70% completion rate. So, I mean, you got quarterbacks that can deliver the ball and you run the right route, you know you're going to get it. And, you know, G.R.O.Y. is the kind of receiver that if you get anything near him, he's going to catch it for you. What really astounded me, too, this year, Darryl, is the fact that here's a guy who probably caught, off the top of my head, I can think about 4 or 5 passes, like between 5 and 10 yards, and turned them into touchdowns. You know, turned around and split defenses, outran defenders for 60, 70, 80 yards. And that's what really kind of, you know, shocked me because I don't think a lot of us didn't think he was that fast, but he's got that game speed where he can just pull away from guys. And, you know, there's just not enough you can say about what G.R.O.Y. Simon's done with this team, and it's been fun to watch.
And it's Julia, just staying on him one more time, it's not that they just keep throwing the ball to him. He makes catches other guys don't.
No, and those are the guys. Those are the special ones, right? Those are the, you know, I can remember, you know, a guy that I played with was Ray Alexander. He was in that class. You know, when Ray Alexander was playing at 90%, he was still better than everybody. And when Ray Alexander was playing at 100 or 110%, forget it. You weren't gonna touch the guy. And anything you threw at him, he was going to catch. And G.R.O.Y. Simon is like that. I think that when you look at him, you think to yourself, here's a guy who probably could play 80% and still be pretty special. But when he's playing at 100% or more, you're talking about a guy that dominates. And that's a lot of fun to watch when you get a guy that special. And I think along the lines of a Milt Stegall, he's in that class, right? So those kind of guys that when they're playing at their peak are unstoppable.
Playoffs, Julia, let's go on to those. BC will be taking on the winner of the Western Final, Saskatchewan, going into Calgary. Who do you like, and what kind of game are we looking at?
You know what, Darryl? I think, for me, the semifinals for the first time in a long, long time, I have no clue. I really don't. And I don't want to try to, you know, to throw a lot of crap out there. It's just these teams that are heading into the semifinals, They just have not been playing consistent enough down the stretch to give you any kind of gauge as to how they'll perform in the playoffs. You know, you look at Calgary, they struggled down the stretch. You look at Saskatchewan, you know, they struggled down the stretch. So there's no clear-cut team that I think is the favorite. For me, what's going to be important for Saskatchewan, who's going to be playing on the road, is if they can go out and get on Calgary early and take that crowd out of the game. I think any time you get a team that can go out and start fast when you're struggling and the other team is struggling, the confidence level, especially at home, there's more pressure now. So if they can get out early, I think Saskatchewan will be tough because defensively, too, they're very, very good. But on the other hand, Calgary, with all the talent that they have offensively, and they have a pretty steady defense, that, you know, they're dangerous as well. But there's just been no consistency there to get kind of any handle on how they're going to perform this Sunday.
And Winnipeg going into Toronto, Kevin Glenn, is he healthy? Is he injured? Is he going to play? What kind of game are we looking at?
I don't know. And it's all going to really rest on him.
Because old was it Dwin, did he? He didn't look so good. He didn't look so good.
And that's what you would expect from a young guy who's just making his first start or making his first appearance in the league. But it's all going to hinge on Kevin Glenn. If Kevin Glenn can play, then they've got a chance. And the other thing about what Winnipeg does that can cripple Toronto is they can run the ball. And when you can run the ball against that Toronto defense that historically will give up the run, and Rich Stubler, who's the defensive coordinator in Toronto, he'll give up the run. He just doesn't think that you're patient enough or are willing to stick with it long enough and that you're really going to, you know, you're going to eventually put the ball up in the air. If you can stick with the run against that team, and I think if Kevin Glenn isn't 100%, then they're going to put more of an emphasis on Charles Roberts with that running game and that short passing game to try to move the ball on them offensively. Really, Toronto offensively, it's a grab bag, really. If Damon Allen plays well, they're going to win because they've got so much talent. If he struggles, then they better hope that defense comes up with a lot of plays because, really, Toronto's been another one of those teams that defensively they've been very, very consistent all year, but offensively they're all over the place.
Awesome. Julio Caravata. Julio, I know you're sick. I'll let you go right now. I do appreciate it, and I take it you're happy that the Lions do have a bye week for you this week.
Yeah, well, I think I'd be all right by Sunday, but I think there's something going around at work. I kind of felt a little sick yesterday, but I think it's traveling around the hall pretty quickly, so.
So avoid your firefighter this week, everybody.
Yeah, get locked down in your own room and try to come out healthy.
Julio, as a firefighter, you ever have to deal with any crazy things on Halloween?
Well, Halloween night is one of our busier nights. Usually, you know, there's a lot of pranks, a lot of people going out, you know, lighting fireworks and all that kind of stuff. So it's traditionally one of our busier nights. And just put it this way, I'm glad I'm at home tonight and not at work.
Is it mainly pranks, or do you guys actually have to go around and put out firework-like fires?
It just depends. You know, it's all about, you know, being smart when you use the fireworks and making sure that you're doing it in the right spot and making sure there's, you know, that you get the right clearing and all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of little stuff, but occasionally we do, you know, have, you know, some real, you know, stupid things happen, and it's unfortunate, but I just encourage everyone to make sure that they're safe and make sure that they, you know, slow down a little bit with all the kids on the road.
And what are your daughters tonight?
They, my little girl went out as a friendly witch.
Nice.
And my other little girl went out as a lion.
Ah.
Yeah.
They're looking cute?
Oh, God, yeah. Went out. So I'm actually a little bit upset because I didn't get a chance to go out with them, but...
Who's handing out the candy?
My father-in-law's here.
Oh, your father?
Yeah, so he's actually handing it out.
So you're not working, you're not taking the kids out, and you're not handing out candy.
No. So you know I've got to be down and out, buddy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So enjoy the hockey game tonight. We got a hockey game.
Yeah, that's
on.
Right.
So,
I will.
Awesome.
Okay,
all right,
buddy.
Julio, I will see you next Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Conference final time.
Yeah.
All right, Julio Caravan.
Okay,
thanks, Julio. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Coming on my show with the flu. You gotta like that, Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Eric, I'm out of it today. I'm just not all there.
This is an unusual situation.
I just got made fun of. Anyways, folks, keeping her going right now. We gotta do a little baseball talk. And, you know, I'm a baseball guy. That's the sport I endear to. And I was proven right. If you ever do listen to me... The World Series winners were the St. Louis Cardinals. They beat Detroit. I love those organizations. Those are all-time classic organizations from about the 30s onward. Those guys did stuff. Ty Cobb, actually. So the Tigers, you can go even earlier than that. But the Cardinals started to kick butt when Branch Rickey took over their team in the 30s or late 20s, whatever, and they developed the minor league systems. And I mean, how revolutionary is that? Coming up with the whole minor league system idea. And they had, I think, 200 minor league teams at one point. And just believe, sign quantity and you'll find some quality. And they ended up just being great through the 30s and the 40s. But, you know, you got the Gas House Gang teams, and you got the Hank Greenberg Tiger teams, and you got the Denny McLean Tiger teams in the 60s, and the Bob Gibson Cardinal teams in the 60s, and the Wizard of Oz, Ozzie Smith in the 80s, and Kirk Gibson and Jack Morris and the Tigers of the 80s. And, you know, two cool franchises met in the World Series. And what did it get baseball? It got baseball its lowest World Series ratings ever. And to put that in consideration, baseball has been around since the television. They've been doing World Series, okay? Baseball was before television. So that just sort of has to put you, I mean, it's been there since TV came out, and they just had their lowest series ever. And I got a couple theories on this one. Is the games on the West Coast, not so bad. You know, they start at 5:30. No big deal to us. We can watch it. And then they end, and that's it. East Coast, you're looking at 8:30. Well, when I grew up, I remember watching the World Series, to be honest, from the age of 6 onwards. Well, if I'm on the East Coast, my parents are not going to let me stay up, old 7, 8-year-old, to watch up, you know, to start watching the World Series at 9 o'clock, or I'm sorry, at 11 and 12 o'clock. I remember in the 87 Canada Cup, staying up and watching Canada beat Russia and the Soviet Union. I think they're Russia. I don't know. In double overtime, Lemieux got a goal. I remember that was late. And, you know, it's just people cannot stay up and watch the World Series anymore, these kids. And you're losing out on the young fan. That's not good. And the other one is, and I got to go to the wild card. I'm going to go to the wild card. You may not agree with me, but you don't have the great teams. And hockey's going to have trouble with this too. Basketball, the great teams make it. Football, the great teams make it. Baseball and hockey in a short series, you know, you got goaltending and pitching going on. I mean, things can happen. Upsets are more probable in those sports than the other two I just mentioned. That's what I believe. And you got the wild card system in baseball now. The great teams aren't in it anymore. The New York Mets had such a big lead in their division, they didn't have to bolster their roster for the playoff run. You know, they didn't have to do that. We're under the old system, I believe. It's possible they would have to. Maybe not so much, but they might have had to. Detroit wouldn't have made the playoffs. St. Louis wouldn't have made the playoffs. Under the old system, 10 years ago, or I should say 93, so you're looking at 13 years ago, when there was no wild card, neither of these teams would have even made the playoffs. You would have had the Yankees taking on the A's, or the Yankees taking on the Twins in the first round. And you'd have had the Mets taking on the Dodgers. You'd have had the Mets taking on the Dodgers in the first round. And that's what the playoff system would have been like. Or maybe the Padres. The Padres and Dodgers would have had a playoff. But nonetheless, and you got to figure, those teams are bolstered. They're a lot better under the old system because they got to get ready for playoff runs. They got to get better for the stretch runs. There's no wild card to be won. And this is what baseball gets. They get their lowest rated World Series ever. They want the Yankees to be in it because they're the juggernaut. They want to see the juggernauts. Well, the wild card has made it where you don't need to be a juggernaut anymore to make the playoffs, so they're more of a rarity. And that's what I got on baseball. National Football League, Peyton Manning, got to talk about him. Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts. What an effort by Peyton Manning. And just watching that game on TV, he's awesome. And he was making passes, it seems, other quarterbacks can't. And Michael Vick, has he finally figured it out? And if he has, look out, National Football League. All right, everybody, that's it for me. I'd like to thank my guests, Wilson Wong, Vern Knopp, Jason Beering, Dave Chernichan from News 1130, and Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. Eric with Fletcher Ahead coming on right after me. Happy Halloween. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Oh, wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands touching hands.